everyone, and welcome to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I'm Wayne Cavanaugh.
And I'm his sidekick, Will Alexander.
Are you the Johnny Carson to my Ed McMahon, or is it the other way
around? The other way around, yeah.
I think we're both a bunch of Ed McMahons, actually. Anyway, stay tuned. This week's show, we've got a lot of good stuff for you. We want to focus on some important things that are happening in our sport. Gas prices, how that's going to affect the sport, if it is. Also, Crufts, the biggest dog show in the world and one of the most unique experiences you can ever be involved in. Also, club historians, how important it is to keep the history of these breeds alive for those to learn from. All that and more on the Dog Show Drive.
I'm born to run down rocky cliffs. Give me grace, bury my sins. Shattered glass and black holes can't hold me back from where I need to go. Oh,
oh, oh, oh. Well, hey there, Will. How the heck are you up there in the Great White North?
I'm good, Wayne. It's good to see you.
Good to see you. Good night in hockey, huh?
Oh, yeah. Great night. Well, we won, and Austin got three goals, but we still let in four goals, so there's still an issue.
There is. But, you know, Austin getting three, you know, that's pretty cool. And Kaner down in Chicago getting 6 points in one game. Still got it.
He does. Man. Showtime.
And it was hat night, by the way. So that's your dream, right? That you get the hat trick on hat night. So everybody in the stadium's got a free hat. And they all throw it on the ice at the same time. That was pretty cool. Cat was on. I think he's the one that got the three. But anyway, there you have it, young boy. There's lots going on in the world right now. But of course, there's dog shows too. There was the show in Maryland, the Sporting Dog Club. 460 some entries. Over 400 sporting dogs only.
That's
a good sign, you know?
Yeah.
But the Maryland Kennel Club is such a class act, and the Maryland Sporting Dog Club too. And they rent that cool little facility down there in West Friendship, Maryland. And it's always a good time. And I'll tell you, the thing is, you want a big entry, get good judges. It was really, I'm going to get it confused. It was Greg and Gary Anderson. Greg Anderson, right?
It was Greg Anderson, yeah.
Yeah.
Gary's his dad.
Oh, is he? I didn't know.
Yeah.
Well, Greg had he's a really good dog, man. And man, he went through that and got it all right in my mind and did a fine job. And strength too. Man, there was a strong entry there.
He was a great cocker.
Good on all of them.
He was a great cocker.
Yeah. Yeah, he was.
Both his dad was too. You know, his dad was big. Cochran.
Yeah. And there's four Andersons that start with a G in the judge's book. So,
yeah.
But there's another Anderson that I met with a G in Grays Lake last year. Nicest guy I ever want to meet. And I did know him from back in the UKC days. But he's got a couple groups now, so we'll be seeing him around.
Other Gary Anderson, well, he has Gordon Sedders.
He does have Gordon Sedders, yeah. Really good guy.
Yeah, him and his wife are excellent.
Yeah, they are. And we're lucky to have so many good ones, and they sure know how to pile them up down there in Maryland and have a good panel. Anyway, Linda Herbalos, who, you know, the former AKC rep, who's just a brilliant judge and dog person. I work with her at the AKC. And, you know her, Will.
Yeah, I used to work for her and Bobby.
Yeah. Anyway, she's a great dog mind and a great dog judge. And she just posted a thing about, here's some judges on our panel in Perry. And that's it. And for those interested in who our panel will be, here they are. Just a big, long string of comments saying, that's a dream panel. I'll go to that one any day. Boy, you want to attract a big entry?
Yeah.
Get good judges, quit doing favors and paybacks and look down. I remember being in some clubs that said, what do you want for judges? Well, Bobby Smith gave me reserve winners to a major at the National 3 years ago. He's a great judge. Well, that makes him a great judge. Let's put him on the panel. You know, you have to be careful. And, you know, there's judges, there's a lot of politics involved, but I think most clubs do a really good job of putting together good panels. And you can tell the depth of the dog knowledge in the club when you see good panels. And it's very refreshing. You open up a premium list these days and you see a bunch of judges that you respect. So good on you.
It's amazing the perception out there. Like if they lose and are a certain judge, right away they're horrible judges and they're never going to make their panel and blah, blah, blah. And you can't even see their name in their presence because they didn't put Fifi up or Fido up or whoever.
Absolutely. Yeah, these people with conspiracy theories about who wins something just crack me up, right? I knew I couldn't win that because his plumber's cousin bought a puppy from my nephew's uncle or something.
You know? I saw them talking at the snack bar. I'm sure they were talking about open bitching with setters. So.
Absolutely. They had to be. This is why we beat our friends all the time, right? You don't think I was talking to Ken Murray last night, and he was on fire about when judges put up dogs because the owner's famous or good, they should stop judging. You know, if that's the only reason they put that dog up, and he's right. Just go in there and judge the damn dog. It's a lot easier. Anyway, all that and more on the dog show drive. Hey, we got a little dog show going on. Yeah. A little dog show going on this week, Will.
Little dog show.
Yeah. Oh, they only have 15,000, 20,000, 25,000.
It's still unfathomable sometimes when you think about it. But when does that start? We're talking about Crufts.
This week. This week they're setting up now. I get the pictures, you know. They're already setting up. I really miss working there. You know, I had a great time doing the live broadcast for the BBC. Just a great honor with Frank Kane, my dear friend and great sporting dog man, and just great dog man. And Peter Purvis, he's an icon in England or all over Europe. He had a great TV show when he was for young kids, and he's a great actor. He can sing, he can write, just a talented guy. His wife's a brilliant actor. And then Jessica Holm, who is one of my dearest friends, and I miss her terribly every minute. We had a dream panel over there. It was great fun. We didn't use notes at all.
We don't use notes, Wayne.
No, we didn't need them. Well, that's for sure. We don't use anything. But there was such excitement, and there was no routine of who went next. Yeah. If you saw a really nice English Cocker coming up, you know, we knew the cameras on us at that moment. We'd raise our hands. I want to get in. Frank would always, I want to go. And then we'd have to decide who was going to go. You know, it was really, really spontaneous and fun. And we did a lot of features. It was extraordinarily tiring and difficult. And it didn't matter. The adrenaline was so high because we were live every day for 4 days.
Oh my God. I couldn't imagine. Yeah.
And you get back to the hotel and you just pass out and do it again. It's kind of like Wyndham Best and Show at Westminster, Will. You know, you come back home. In my case, it was usually still winter, almost always. It was always winter. I'd come home, and we had a hot tub in the woods, you know, in our old big place. And I'd get in the hot tub and just stare up at the sky and let the snowflakes hit me in the face and look at the stars if I could. It was a real down kind of moment. You know, you're so high on adrenaline for 4 days. You come home and you're like, is this all there is? Is this all there is?
It's true. Like after the European one, I remember getting home. And that's when I was living in the old kennel still. And I used to have my master bedroom was off the kitchen. And I remember going out there. And I got home that night. I unloaded all her loot, like the ribbon and everything. It was in this little shelf I had. It was not little, it was quite big, but it was kind of, and it was messy. I just put it in there and I went to bed, and I came out the next morning and I'm having a coffee and I forget who I was talking to. When I looked over and I thought, what am I going to do with all that stuff? Yeah. That's when people obviously mostly left, right? With the Vault and Eddie and you and whoever got stuff. But
when you pulled in the driveway one day, at our old place, and you had dogs with you. I guess you were showing down here or something. You were staying in the guest house, and you opened the doors and you pulled out like three or four, maybe more, big plastic storage bins, those big tubs. and you brought them in. They were just full of Best in Show and group ribbons and trophies and stuff. And you said, pick what you want. And we're like, I think we took, one ribbon. And, I mean, what are you going to do? Oh, I tell you what we did do. We took, and this is a good tip for anybody out there that's burdened with ribbons. We have a special needs riding academy here, horse riding academy here. And we donated the ribbons to them. They were thrilled. It didn't matter that it said, Kalamazoo Kennel Club, whatever. Yeah, it didn't matter. You know, they just wanted ribbons to give the kids. And it's a wonderful, if you can find a way to do that,
yeah,
it's wonderful. It makes you feel great. And we had plenty of them to give away, but we did that. And I don't know, I think we might've kept one or two trophies, but at the end of the day, you get addicted to these highs if you're not careful. And that's how you end up losing your life and having a big box of ribbons.
Yeah.
You have to have balance in your life to make that work. I miss working over there. I left in solidarity when the BBC got fired. And then the other company called and asked me back. And I thought, you know what? I've been working for that old crew and that old producer who's a dear friend for so many years. And I'm Irish loyal and I can't help myself. So I couldn't go back. But sometimes I regret it. But boy, it was hard work, but fun. Anyway, for those who don't know, this is a dog show that can draw easily 25,000 dogs. That's 10 Westminsters. That's 5 Morrison Essex. This is if you haven't been to Crufts, you haven't been to a circus combined with a dog show.
Yeah.
The first thing they do, and I had to get there a couple of days early to start doing some features and stuff. This is 5 co-located buildings, 5.
So you have
buildings the size of McCormick. Yeah. The buildings the size of McCormick Place connected to other buildings. Not all of them are that big, but there are 5 of them. Because it's the National Exhibition Center. So you can have a flower show in one, a car show in the other, whatever. You can have 5 different events going on. Not for Crufts. It's all dogs. So first they go in and they lay carpet tiles on the entire surface of the whole thing. They carpet the entire, every inch of 5 buildings, they carpet. Then they start building the booths. And many of them are 2 stories tall with a place for tea on the second level. I mean, this is extraordinary. The spectators come from all over. It's one of the biggest TV shows. It's kind of like our Super Bowl. But the spectators, there's buses that just keep pulling into the NEC and people just keep pouring out. Unfortunately, it gets to the point where you really can't walk anymore. It's so stiff and crowded. But I love the show for so many reasons. 360 golden retrievers. You know, every breed has an enormous entry, 500, 600. And the benches are set up next to the ring because you're going to be there all day. Right. So if you have a great day and you set up next, and it's a bench show, but the benches are next to the ring. So you're there. That's where you are all day. It's going to be Great Danes all day. And then those groups leave the building and the other ones come back. The other ones come in. But it's just so much fun watching the different crates and different trolleys and, everybody walking around from the lake with them pulling their dogs and no handlers, very few. So it's every family with their kids and their dog. It's wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, Gavin is doing the hound group this year. So
yeah, I've seen him win it.
Yeah, him and his wife both won it, I believe. Yeah.
Oh, it's a great dog. And if you really want to see a different, and we talked about this last week, but the different styles of dogs and different breeds and the differences between countries, it's a great place to do that. I hope to get there maybe next year. We'll see.
Yeah, my thought is too. I was talking about maybe doing next year.
Yeah, maybe we should see if Eddie wants to go and get a posse.
Oh, that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Eddie and Jeff, that'd be real fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, lots to talk about. I can't avoid this, and I do not care what your politics are. Gas prices are going up.
Yeah,
we happen to have a war going on. Over in Russia and our poor friends in Ukraine. We mentioned them last week. And again, our thoughts go out to all the dog show people, all the people, obviously, of Ukraine, and the great job that neighboring countries are doing to take care of those as they flee. from Ukraine for safety. Anyway, all this is causing this kerfuffle with gas prices. In 1973, the Saudis started an oil embargo, and it was about countries that supported Israel. And the oil embargo was an extraordinary time in my life, all of our lives, obviously. I had to wake up the minute I got my driver's license. This went on for a while. I had to wake up at 3 a.m. and take my father's car and get online. And I mean online, because you're there for hours, to get gas so he could get to work. Then I'd have to get home in time for him to get to work. We all did it. We had alternate days. You could only get gas if your license plate number ended in an odd number. You could only go on an odd number day. If it's an even number, you can only get gas on an even number day. There's so many ways to try to cut these lines down. We dealt with it. We got through it. Prices were high. We paid it. It was over. They went back and life went on.
Yeah. So I was 1973. I was 8 years old. So I wasn't, I had not, nothing. I had no idea what the Saudis, I'm sure I thought it was Batman or something.
Say 18 or 8.
Eight.
Were you handling dogs then, Will, professionally?
Almost.
Anyway, I don't know if people know the history of this world, but you know those darn clusters that go on forever in one place? You can thank that oil embargo. Yeah. It changed dog shows dramatically. People couldn't afford the gas to get to shows. And when they got there, they didn't want, it used to be Monmouth, Plainfield, Union. You drive up the coast of New Jersey going right to a different show every day. That's how it was, right? Nobody had shows in the same grounds. You had your grounds. It was special. Went to the next place. They had a different flavor, different colors. And then because the gas shortage, AKC decided, well, we're going to have to do something. So they let people share grounds for days and days. And then it kept going from there. People love the convenience of being in one place. It sure took the special flavor out of each kennel club's colors and rhythm.
Yeah. I can see both sides of it. I remember, like, if you had like one or two dogs in your family, you pack up your station wagon and go to the next show. But when you had 20 odd dogs, it was a lot of work doing that each time. And then the Florida circuit was like that as well. We'd go from site to site to site. And it's like, you were exhausted. So.
You were. Tried doing it with the Bluebird. Sites. We had 50 dogs to ship every, another hour every night. That was no fun. So that's how clusters began. And now we have another issue, right? Gas prices are going to be soaring. They already are. And again, I don't care whose fault it is. I'm just saying it's reality. So get over it. So what are we going to do?
There's a war going on. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's that war thing. Guy decided to start one. Well, is this going to mean lower entries again? We just got the entries back up after COVID. Is it going to start? I just talked about over 400 sporting dogs, the sporting dog show in Maryland. Is it going to go back down because people just can't afford the gas? Well, I don't know. I can tell you that Ted Young made a lot of money out of a Chevy van. The great cocker handler, Ted Young. For those of you who don't know, look it up. He's one of the all-time greats in the sport. He had a Chevy van, made a lot of money. I don't know what happens if you have a Renegade, you know, a 40-foot-long Renegade diesel. It's going to cost you $1,000 to get to a dog show.
Holy jumpins! That's true. It's
no. Unfortunately, the diesel pusher that Cheryl and I have had been waiting for since September came in this week. Do we want it?
Can they wait?
Can they wait? $4 or $5 a gallon to go up to our place in Traverse City, which is 150 miles. When you get 10 miles to the gallon with the wind blowing at your back, you never really get 10, but you say you do. You know, that's a whole lot of gas. And you multiply that by $5. It's $150, $200 trip each way. And that's only going 3 hours. It's going to change things quite a bit, I would think. What do you think, Will?
Oh, definitely. It's going to change things. And that's just the world we live in right now, Wayne. And we have to put up with it and move on. But it's going to happen up here as well. Like our gas prices have gone out, have gone crazy as well. And there's a war going on. We produce, I forget how much percentage-wise, I think we discussed it earlier, I think 50% of our, I can't remember. I don't want to get the numbers wrong, but
we produce more oil than we do. We're right behind you, but you produce more than we do.
Our gas prices are still going up, and it's not. I hate to say it. It's the war. It's all you can blame right now. It's the war, and we've gone through a pandemic, and now we have the war.
Yeah. Don't know tough how times.
It is,
but true patriots, true Americans, true Canadians. Get together, take the hit for the better good of the world, and move on. You can sit here and debate it all day. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The gas prices are out there. You got to put them in your Renegade and get to a dog show. And, you know, we dog shows are an RV show these days. Everybody's got their 40-foot diesel pusher. It's so nice. You know, you pack it once, and you don't have to worry about hotels. And, you know, you pull right into the ground. You can live there for a week during these clusters, not have to move. And you wake up and you're right there at the show. It's good for the dogs. They're right there with you. But boy, you know, on the other hand, if you have 300, 500 grand to buy a motorhome, you probably can afford the gas.
Yeah. You know? I suppose. I always fought with that when I was showing dogs. Do I go and sink into that kind of money into my vehicle to go to the dog show? And I wasn't a big fan of camping at the show.
Yeah.
And when I would think if it was just me and somebody and our dogs, but when I was showing dogs at the height, I'd have four or five kids with me, and having a trailer of four or five kids, bro. It was a mess. It was just mayhem all the time, and we had to feed them, and it was just too much for me. I tip my hat off to some people. I see them do it, and it's like clockwork and structure. Like I go to Adam's, and he has his motorhome and his trailer and his kids, and it's just perfect. Dinner is done. It's just structured. I couldn't do that. I was so exhausted in the day of showing dogs. I want to sit down and have a beer. I wasn't making dinner.
Yeah, I understand.
But and the gas prices.
You do miss going to dinner together with you when you're at the hotel. But on the other hand, now at the shows when you camp there, people get together and
they do, and it's great fun. I just don't know if I could have done it when I had a string of dogs and a team of assistants and.
Yeah. Well, you were already eight. You were already 8 years old back in the oil embargo. So
exactly. So yeah.
You know, I remember years ago you told me a little story about gasoline. Well, and I think in these hard times it might not be a bad thing to bring up, so we can get back on the track of living in a life of smiles.
Well, not many people realize. Well, I grew up in a family of my parents had gas stations. So you had a summer job, or you had a job whenever you wanted a job. You were pumping gas. You were doing that. And I remember working. I would work the night shift and still go to school the next day. But I remember one particular night. That was back in the day when we had the big canvas bags where you put the money in, the big zipper, and you had a lock on it sometimes. And you'd take that and take it to the bank the next day. Well, I was in charge of taking that from the gas station, locking up the gas station, getting in my car, and taking the day's money home so the next day they can take it to the bank.
Did you have a cool kid's car with a big engine?
Oh, God. I had a Cutlass 350 Rocket. It was pretty sweet. Rally wheels. I was, you know, it was 0 to 60. And but I could pass anything but the gas station.
Yeah.
So I'm driving home late at night, and we lived about, I don't know, 40 minutes from the gas station. I live in Columbus. And lo and behold, the gas station that I just left, I left the gas station about 15 minutes down the road. My Cutlass Supreme ran out of gas with the day's receipts.
So you had the bag of cash in the car. Yeah. You locked up. You did all that right.
And I took the bag of money and I walked, which I probably shouldn't have. I probably should have left it. Like, I don't know what you do. I was about 17. I don't know. Do I take that? Because back then it was about $3,000 or $4,000, which is a lot back then, right? Yeah. And you take it and you got this cash. I had to find a payphone. There was no cell phones. So I had to find a payphone. I had to call home, which I was not looking forward to. And then my dad had to come and find me. it wasn't.
Would be happy to see you, Will.
He was happy. He was happy to see me. And he brought a jerry can and he made me go fill my own car. he took the canvas bag from me.
Yeah, I bet he did. Did he remind you where you worked, Will?
Exactly. And it gets even better, Wayne. We also had a towing service. Up here in Canada, we have, you would make, in the winter, you would make extra money by taking your tow truck to, a mall parking lot and people's. It was so cold they couldn't start their car. You would go boost their car for $10 or $15 a piece and you'd make money. One time my dad sent me out to do something, I can't remember what it was, in the tow truck, and I ditched the tow truck. So I had to call another tow. We only had one tow truck with our company, so I had to call another tow company to come and get me out. I called this company called Duff's Towing, which was in the same city as ours. And I was trying to be all good. I didn't call the station, didn't call anybody and tell them I was doing this myself. I was going to look after it myself. So they come and they tow. Our company was Dixon Dundas BP, was the British Petroleum back then.
Yeah.
And it was on the side of our tow truck. Well, Duff's Towing, they got their tow truck and started pulling our tow truck out. And before they would drive me back to the shop or let me go or whatever the plan was, they asked me to stand in front of it while they took a picture of their towing company towing our tow truck.
Oh, it doesn't get any better advertising than that, does it?
I think I had to look for a different job.
Even with connections, Will. Even with connections. Well, there was another talent waiting for you. See, I'm glad it happened because you got to do what you love and you got to be damn good at it.
You better go show dogs, Will. You're not going to talk about the boat truck.
Stay away from the truck. Oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Hey, what do you do? I was just wondering. We have, I've taken, when I showed dogs, with Jeannie and Forza, we sat there and filled out all those entry forms, 50, 60, 70 of them. You filled them all out by hand. And that was our jobs. Everybody had, and boy, you don't want to screw that up. And then they'd mail them in and you mailed them in early and you were at the mercy of the post office about getting them there on time. But if you were smart, you sent them in plenty early. And then we went to entry services, and I don't think anybody mails their entry in anymore.
Oh, entry services saved us. I can still remember certain dogs' registration order because I wrote out so many entries for those dogs. Mm-hmm. So entry service saved our butts, really.
You have them up there?
Yeah, we have a company called the Entry Line up here, and Stacy's wonderful. I've known them this 20-plus years. They've been a savior sometimes. All of a sudden you get busy and you forget and you just call in the entry and oh, you enter something, and then all your dogs on file, and then they've been such a good I have to tell you, Stacy and the Entry Line have been so good about supporting dog shows too. Like they made their living from dog shows, but they also gave back a lot. They would sponsor certain events, they would sponsor Best in Show sometimes. And every year at Christmas, we have a show in Brantford, which is the town where Entry Line has their office. And our last show back then was the Brantford Kennel Club. It was called the Christmas Classic. Stacy would always come with his packages of chocolates or wine or for all these people that have supported her. And she'd go around like little Santa Claus giving out it just made you feel.
Yeah.
Customer service. She just over and above it is. And if you needed anything, I'm so glad we have her. I really am.
Yeah. We're lucky to have those little, they're personal and they're local and you get to know them. We're lucky to have those kinds of companies and services.
And she does all, I'd say, oh, Stacy, I got to go to BC for the weekend. Can you get me entered? And she'd get it done. you know, get me interested.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
We've come a long way in these little technical stuff. When that kid, I think I told you about young man that I met. I'm sure I did. Did I tell you that he showed his dog?
You did tell me. Yeah.
Well, he emailed me after.
Did he get a Newfoundland?
Newfoundland, yeah. If you missed it last week, Amit went to the show and he won the breed and he went, this is a puppy show with puppy groups. He won the group and went third, won the breed, went third in the group. And I'm telling you, the hook is set. We talked about it last week. He called me after to thank me for helping him fill out his entry because I can tell you, it wasn't easy for me either. Ran at the lingo, you know, and he's like, do I tick this box, the tick box? And I said, you know what you want to do? You want to call the entry service or call the superintendent and just make sure that we did this right. And we had, fortunately for me, it was a regular entry, fine, but a puppy group, only puppies. And, you know, he was at a big show, but he only had to fill out the puppy part. It was pretty cool.
I struggle too. Like I've had a few cases where I've had to try to do it online, and I know I'm getting old and blah blah blah. I love being able to call and talk to a person and have them get me through it, and then having that. Nice? So I press this button. Oh no, where did it go? And you're entered like up in Alaska or something by the time you're done. And
it's true. Hey, you know, I've got a job. Do you know about this?
You told me yesterday you were at work.
I was at work. Yeah. I retired very young. I was very fortunate in my life, but I got this job last year and, it's a lot of hours. I work long days, five of them in March. And then I work two in June and two in December. So that's 9 days. But they're all long days, I tell you, Will. They're long days, 9 days out of the year. I'm on the board of review for taxes, property tax assessments. And I don't know how the hell I got on there, but they called me, so I did it. And you get there, and they give you two computers. And you all know how to do SA online, and they're, you know, taxable value. And I'm like, yeah, I got it. So sometimes you just sit there and, like, type the keys like I'm doing something.
Like Kramer from the Murphy Brown show. Do you ever see that?
Yes. I've gotten used to it now. And I'm sailing along now. I'm teaching others. It didn't take long, but it was a lot of fun. I hate to put them at the beginning or at the end, but we've had a great loss to our sport in Bob and Dahlia. And I don't know. Who doesn't love Bob?
And he was just a staple. He was a staple. I saw whatever. I always saw Dr. Bob. You know, it was like the doctor was down there. And when he came up here to judge, it was always so good to see him. It was, you always look forward to that type of person on your panels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember at Detroit Kennel Club, an exhibitor was standing there seething, waiting for him to come out of the room. And went after him. I can't believe you. And Bob just smiled. Okay, thank you. That's it. I'm sure that drove the guy more crazy than engaging his smile. Yeah, okay, thank you.
wasn't he like a top 10 cardiologist? What was Dr.
Yeah, Bob? He's a brilliant guy.
Amazing to hear somebody with an irate, you know, exhibitor call him stupid or something. Oh, yeah, okay, this man is... Are you kidding me?
He's real dumb. He's a bright guy, a great guy, and he's going to be really missed in the sport. He's got a son that's an attorney that lives in California. Our thoughts go out to his family, and Jesus, just another one, another great one. Who's going to fill their shoes? I hope we can find people of that integrity and that knowledge and that kindness and passion for the sport to fill their shoes. Anyway, there's another one that I missed, Will, and I want to bring this up because no one's going to know this guy except English Setter people. There's a professor from Pennsylvania, a senior lecturer at Penn State named Carl Silman, and he showed English Setters and Beagles. Carl passed away in December of last year, you know, four months ago, and I didn't know about it until yesterday. And my heart goes out to Kate and his family. and friends. But he did something that is of such great value, and we dismiss it today. Carl was the president of the Brandywine English Setter Club, but he was also the historian for the English Setter Club of America. And I got to tell you, no one did it like Carl. His memorabilia, his stories, his records, his photographs were just unmatched. He had a thing he would do on Facebook. He had a little Facebook page, you know, English Setter History. He wouldn't just put up a picture of Ripper Blue Bar or, you know, Ludar Blue Bar. He would find the stories behind it, like who really bred him and how he got to the show and who handled him and how that all worked and the stories behind the handler. It was unbelievable. It was like reading a novel when he posted something about one dog. And once in a while, he'd post a picture and say, I'm not sure who this one is, and I happen to know one. And that's how we got to be pen pals. It was Canada with distinction. I could tell by that. You know you're a dog junkie when you look at a painting from the 70s and go, he had that extra, he was an orange Belton, and I knew where the ticking was on that side of his muzzle. Easy to identify. So we got along just fine, but I've never met him. It's a great regret of mine, but we sure did pen pal a bit. And, you know, what happens to those records and that stuff? Yep. One of the great pointer breeders and exhibitors and devotees of all time passed away, Dawn Meller. Dawn Meller was in Belle Arm, was her kennel name. But she was a great historian, collected a lot of things. And fortunately, Nancy Tuttle from Henry, one of my favorite people, Henry and Nancy from Cumbrian Kennels, went and got a lot of the stuff, Jack Remender signs and stuff. I don't know what we do with this. I don't know who cares anymore. And that's a shame.
It really is a shame because I remember growing up, I lived down the road basically from Sally Virgilia from Raggy Run English Setters. Wow. And going to her place, like I ended up buying that kennel and living there. Wow. But it was like going on a school trip, like a trip. Like it was funny. She'd take you on memory lane about all these dogs. And you know, she'd get off track sometimes, but she talked about Horace. She talked
like us.
Yeah. She talked with Jane. Her first handler was Jane Camp. You know, she would go ask Jane Force, if you people don't know. She those stories, I was 12. I would never hear them from somebody else. You know, I was lucky to come across Sally and it was hours of sitting in her kitchen inhaling her secondhand smoke listening to these stories. But it was so worth it. It was so worth it.
Yeah. So what do we do with this stuff? Where does it go? How do we, I tell you, in speaking of technology earlier, the fact that, you know, social media does so much ill for this country and the world, but also has its shining moments. And Carl being able to post it on Facebook, it got it out there to the masses. Anyone who was interested could read it. And he wrote it so in such a compelling way that you wanted to read it. And, you know, we need some way to get it out there to the public, or it just sits in a drawer somewhere.
Now that is the positive side. Like Maureen there, Setter Club Maureen Day, she does that as well. And I love seeing her posts about, she'll say, we know who the dog is. Does anybody know who the judge is? And then we all get together and try to figure out who the judge is. And it's kind of fun, actually.
But. Yeah. Oh, I love when they post those pictures. If I can't count them, I call Bonnie Threlfel. Between the two of us, we usually have it covered. And there's plenty of others that can do that too. Did I ever tell you about when I met Cheryl, the first trip to her parents' house?
I'm not sure.
We were in college. We went to high school together, but I didn't know her in high school, giant high school. I knew her brother, and he was my roommate. But we went to the same college, and I met her there. And we were dating, and it was time to go meet the parents. And she told me that they showed boxers, but, you know, sure, you know, right. So we get to her parents' house, and on the mantle was trophies from the boxer club, ABC, American Boxer Club. Winner's dog, best of winners, and best of breed. And I said, oh, how many boxers did you have? Oh, just the one. I said, all in the same day? Well, let's look, yeah. I said, who showed them? And she said, some lady, Jane Kemp. Or whatever, however you pronounce it back then. And I had no idea that. And then, you know, a couple years later, I worked for Bob and Jane. A couple years later, I married Cheryl. So
it's amazing how that happens.
You know who her neighbor was? Mark Moody, the secretary of the American Kennel Club. And I didn't know that either. And I every piece of paper you got back then, you just saved, had Mark Moody's signature on it. And I didn't know this either. I mean, I knew there was a Mark Moody. I just never dawned on me where he lived. And we all lived an hour from New York City. So it wasn't, it wasn't impossible. But I was there one day with her at her parents, and she said, I've got to go let the neighbor's dogs out. So we went over, and Mark had sheets. So we walked over, wait a second. And it was a fine time. Boy, it was a fine time.
I know. When you figure that out. Like I remember being at Sally's, and I was a kid thinking, nothing of it. And all of a sudden you see a trophy, or it's like Best of Breed English Center Club of America or Skidby, whatever. And you're like, really? And all the paintings she did for all these famous people and famous dogs. I have one of her busts that I got. It's amazing when you finally realize who these people really are.
Yeah. And what they did for the sport. Yeah. So much contributed back to the sport. Really cool stuff. There's so much of that that we need to embrace and consider when we're running around chasing these points. You need to stop and reflect on the people who came before you and find some way to respect them with your breeding, with your behavior, with your thoughts, and with your help for others and respect for judges and other handlers and other breeders. You don't have to like them. You have to respect them.
Right.
Hats off to all those who keep that history and keep it going. It's a great sport. You just have to look for the sunshine. There's not a sport in the world that doesn't have issues, doesn't have, pockets of things that could be changed and improved. You can either dwell on those and find the thorns, or you can celebrate the roses and ribbons and roses. And you can look at those moments of sunshine and focused on the good things and the good times. I must be getting old to reflect on these things in a positive light.
Are you okay, Wayne?
Well, I always wanted to be a grumpy old man when I grew up. And I think I got there. And then I have moments like that where I get all soft. I don't know.
Yeah, well, no one's going to know. Just you and me.
I worked all my life to be a grumpy old man. Get off my lawn. The minute I saw the first movie, Grumpy Old Men, I thought, that's what I want to be when I grow up. It's not working out.
I was always one of my favorite older judges when I was Hanley. He was an older judge, was Richard Renahan. You remember Richard Renahan?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
I used to love Richard Renahan. He always had the bow tie on. He was always smiling. And he was just one of those guys that, he had a great time all the time, no matter what. Yeah. And I always used to, when Alice and I were still together, we would talk about when we're judges. And she said, well, I'm going to be like Mike Billy. She said, I'm going to be like Richard Renahan. So it'll be you and I out there. And there's Richard Renahan. And she's going to have a little telling you what to do sometimes.
I always wanted to be Jim Reynolds because he still does. He's got great presence.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Plus, he's a really cool guy. How lucky we are to know the Jim Reynolds of the world, right?
Yeah.
We're lucky kids. Anyway.
We sure are.
I don't know, Will. I don't know how the world's going to react to these gas prices. The dog show world. I really don't care about anything else in this context. It'll be fun to see. And my guess is that there's a lot of dog show people who go in debt because they want to get some ribbon. I think they'll go in debt to get gas to get the same ribbon.
If you build it, they will come. It's just the way we are. So
it'll take a sting. There's certainly entries and things.
But the stalwarts, they're still going to find a way to get to the dog show. They're going to.
It'll give us something to bitch about, Will. Give us something to complain about. We can all stand around the park and like, I can't believe this damn thing. But we'll keep going. And they'll come down. Goes up must come down. They'll come down.
Yeah.
And life will be good. So
I agree, man. Yeah. I think I think we may have reached the end of the road today. I'm starting to fall asleep. So
you're running out of gas, are you?
I'm running out of gas, and
it's going to cost you.
And $4. I can't afford to. Have you seen that meme that's out there where the guy says, the one guy looks over and sees the guy getting $10 worth of gas because he's going to the next pump? He's got or something like that.
Hey, by the way, you know, you told me about this TikTok thing.
Yeah.
And I finally broke down and looked at it.
Yeah.
It's the dumbest damn thing I've ever seen in my life. It's stupid, Will.
It's not.
You waste time going, and it's good night. Not that I was on it that long.
See, what happens. Yeah, that's what happens. You start at 9 o'clock. Oh, I'll just watch a couple of videos. Then all of a sudden it's midnight. Oh, I better get to bed.
Well, I got to do the Wordle thing. I got to check Facebook. I don't do Twitter or any of that stuff. I'm too old. And then I got to do the New York Times crossword puzzle. And if I add TikTok, it's going to be 1 a.m. before I go to bed.
Well, not many people know, but I have my own TikTok channel. I'll tell you now, because I know you won't tell anybody. It's called Leaf Talk.
Do you really?
67, yeah.
That's wonderful.
Don't tell anybody.
67 was your number when you played?
Leaf Talk 67. That was last time Leafs won the Cup, 67.
Oh, I didn't know that, Will. I just didn't want to bring it up.
I know you didn't.
You did, not me. You did. Anyway,
you know, there's a lot of worthwhile information. There's a lot of great opinions. It's a great, great show.
You want to see a convoy? Wait till the Leafs win the Cup again. That is going to be
that'll be a freedom convoy. We're there for our rights the last 50 plus years.
That's right.
We deserve this. Yeah. You held us back all these years.
It's beautiful. Oh, man, what a world we live in, Will. What a world we live in. Well, there you go. Thanks to the...
Yep. It's a small world, Wayne.
But I wouldn't want to paint it, Will. Not one brushstroke. Not one. Hey, Dan had some good dad jokes. We forgot one this week.
Oh,
we got to get on the shtick.
He posts some funny stuff, that guy.
No one looks at Dan Buchwald and says, that's a funny guy. Let me tell you, ladies, that's a funny guy.
I know he's a funny guy now.
Oh, man. Anyway, onward and upward, Will. I'm going to bed. I mean, I have got a 10 o'clock, a 1 o'clock doctor appointment, a 10 o'clock meeting, a planning board meeting tonight. How do I get... By the way, just quickly, because I do want to wrap it up. You can complain all you want about the world. Go ahead. It makes you happy. What do you know about your local politics? I went to a planning commission meeting this last night. This entire village is going to get completely changed. Ring road, apartments, condos, shopping, all this stuff. And you know who went to the meeting? Me and one other person, two people. No one cares about the local politics. That's going to affect them the most.
Yeah,
exactly. So go to your damn local township meetings and read the minutes and see what's going on before it bites you in the, you know.
Derriere.
That's the word I was looking for, Will. Derriere. All that. And that's a good way to end the program, Will. Good joke. We just found one. All right, buddy. Take care. Take care. All right. Will.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth the Gas Man.
Everybody drive safe out there. Drive for as long as you can on a tank of gas. But we'll see you at the shows. Be safe, guys.
Party on, Garth.
I'm born no way.
Down rocky cliffs. Give me grace. Bury my sins. Shattered
glass. So Ernie can use this in the blooper reel.
That's right. We love you, Ernie.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Quit taking yourself damn seriously.